that is kind of manifestation of their atheism. But what drives them to be that? Yeah, Marina. There is no greater force, okay? And that is, again, part of their manifestation in their denying to God. Yeah. Good. Very close now. Getting to the nitty-gritty thing. Eh? They have no hope. Don't laugh. It's a good point. It's a good point. You know? It's a... No. Our not soccer game here. But you're very close here, John. They are bored, but they and you want to say something as well?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I think it comes down to the need to justify
that is, they want to be to hide something. They want to hide their or to justify their beliefs. They want to be like we are free, we do anything. They want to justify their when they deny the Bible and they deny its teaching, they can justify to them their sexual immorality. They can justify to them. Doing anything, and therefore, they at the end actually they reach the stage where to them everything is okay. There's nothing, no obligations, no boundary. They don't want to be religious. They don't want to know the Bible. Because they are going to be tied to church practices, offering, all these kind of things, and therefore they are not going to be really free as they think. I have read a few books about atheism and people who were atheists and became Christian, were Christian, became atheists, and then back again to Christianity. And they describe themselves, one of them, most, there's a big category of those is lacking the fatherhood. I remember a story I was told by Abuna Tadros Ya'ub. He told me once that when he was serving in Los Angeles, and this is a real story, when he was serving in Los Angeles in one of the vespers, in the midnight prayers, they were sitting in the church, and he noticed that there was a young lady entered the church. It looks like drunk, something, and she sat at the end of the church. So... the servants or the people around in the midnight prayers just pointed out to Abuna Tadros that this lady is there. So Abuna Tadros left them, said nothing, but at the end of the praises, he took a couple of people and went and shook hands with her, and he said, "You're welcome, my daughter." When he said to her, "My daughter," the young lady just started to cry. And then he asked her, he knew that she has a problem. So he took her privately and he asked her, "Why are you crying?" She said, "Because I have never heard it from my own physical father, biological father. I haven't heard the word my daughter from my own biological father." And he told her, "Do you know our Father who art in heaven?" She told him, "Who is the Father?" I don't know if I don't have, I don't believe in fatherhood to that extent. This is most of atheism having a problem like close to this, lacking of fatherhood. So this girl now, actually, he told me that she is now in Australia preaching. She goes from a bus to another, talking to people around her, to the extent that they started to, report her, but she's from something to different pole, from a pole to south to north or whatever. Actually, is completely different person now. So fatherhood is some of the is one of the things that atheists. Okay, now we know about the scientists. We know about atheism. How about the third group, which is the Islamists? What is their purpose? I know that some of you know a lot about Islam. Eh? The question is, why are they attacking the Bible? Why are they attacking the Bible, Islamists? Afraid? Okay. Okay. Correct. And all of the answers are correct. So their main objective is to prove that Muhammad is their prophet, is the latest, and is equal to all the other prophets. And being the latest prophet, he is the one that should be really honored above everybody. Islamists, the first attack to Islamists in the Bible would be to deny the sonship of, or that Christ is the Son of God, is God. To them, he is a prophet. And the only way to do this is through criticizing the Bible, a lot of contradiction in the Bible, all these kind of things. So, I probably we can go each category. By the way, we can take lectures to cover. But I'm going just to kind of like overall topic now, and then we zoom in one example that we're going to talk about, which is the recent discovery of the gospel that was discovered in Turkey. And they claim that it is proving that Jesus is not the Son of God, etc. But this is at the end. Okay. So now we have talked about the different groups. I'm going to talk about what are the categories. I tried to kind of what the categories of of attacking the Bible, how they attack the Bible. Some people said before about creation. What else? So science. Basically, they attack it from some scientific angles. The creation specifically, the flood, the Noah's Ark and the flood. With creation, it is the Big Bang theory and all the theories around the existence of the original of the Earth. How they how they prove this, this attacks, how they prove it. I mean, they say that the Bible has so many translations. The Bible has so many translations. And each translation, especially, is coming from the original of Greek, of the Greek language for the New Testament, and from the Aramaic or the Hebrew language for the Old Testament. And they find discrepancies between the different versions of the translation, and therefore they say, oh, there are some translation issues. There are lots of examples, and if we go through these examples, you will probably be bored, but basically it's translation issues among the versions, and they say, oh, because of this, then it's not consistent, the Bible is not consistent, and therefore the Bible is wrong. There are people attacking the Old Testament, for example, in the religious intolerance, in the capital punishment, all these categories, slavery, all this kind of categories of different things actually that is in the Old Testament, that what it appears to be the cruelty of God in the Old Testament, what appears to be that God orders battles and orders wars in the Old Testament. So they look at God as God of the Old Testament is not as God as God of the New Testament. I'm giving these examples, and I'm not like they are not facts. They are claims, and each claim actually can be proven easily. That can be refuted very, very easily, because there are a lot of Bible scholars that have done a lot of research for each of these things. And if we go through the things, actually, it needs lectures. We talked about the Bible and science. Okay, now. If I zoom into the recent discovery of the, because I have been told by Bishoy that some people have actually read about it. I have read it about a year or something like that, that it was discovered, and the Vatican wanted a copy of that Bible. What they're doing actually, that they claim that that Bible was discovered in Turkey, and it was written on leather, I believe, with golden letters. So it's very precious, and they estimate its value in billions of dollars, just to have it. And they made copies of it, but it's very restricted. They don't want to pass it to other churches to examine it, and they're selling it to $1.7 billion. I heard these figures, but I'm not quite sure how far this is right, but that's what's written about it. So one of these copies fell in a group of scientists, of Bible scientists, and they started to look at the first print of it, and it says here it is. Look to what is written. It's written in Aramaic, and it's written as this, or the translation of it. It says, "In the name of our Lord, this book is written on the hands of the monks of the high monastery in Nineveh in the 15th year of our Lord." So the exact translation of this Aramaic opening of the of that book is saying that it has been, this book is written in the by the hands of the monks of the high monastery in Nineveh, just to give it kind of like of authenticity. And Nineveh is, I don't know, this Nineveh is the Nineveh of the Bible, which is Jonah. And this is situated now in Iraq, in very close to the Mosul, where Daesh now, ISIS, is taking over that part, actually, and they destroyed it completely. And it's written in the 15th year of our Lord. So what did you notice in this phrase? I'm just like, I like you really, because when I read it, actually, I just detected what they wanted, how we criticize this, how we are going to refute that this is really a Bible. That is in the 15th year of our Lord. Yeah. The announcement that was done by their minister, I think the minister of interior, the minister of culture, I think the minister of culture in Turkey, he claimed that it is a book dated back to the 15th century, the 15th century. So that means that it was written in the fourth century. It was written in the fourth century. That is falsified. When it was translated, it translated as the 15th year of our Lord. 15th year of our Lord, that means 1500 something. So it was discovered in 1400 something, and then it was published or was known in the 15th year of our Lord. That means that all the prophecies of that book, this back to what year? Yeah. 15th. Say 1500. 1500. After Christ. It's full of prophecies about Muhammad and about Islam. So where is the contradiction here? Muhammad. Bravo. Yeah. You see, the first thing against it is that's why they don't want to publish it. And the Vatican has written a request to get a copy of that Bible to examine it, but actually the Turkish government didn't want to give them that a copy of it. Even they purchased it, so they didn't give them that copy because it's a falsified. Huh? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but when it's written that it was written in the 15th year of the Lord, like 1500 AD, it was written, and it was is prophesizing for Muhammad. So Muhammad was born in the 7th century, which 600 and something, 680 or 670, you see? So that it cannot be true. How I can prophesize of something that happened in the past? It's not a prophecy. You see? Yeah. What you're talking about, however, Martel, is really about, for example, the Gospel of Barnabas, the Gospel of Judas. There are Gospels that were floating around in the 4th century, and in the Nicaea Ecumenical Council, Saint Athanasius, who's the hero of our church, the Creed, and the author of the Creed, actually they classified the books of the Bible, and they found that the book of Barnaba, when it comes actually to the time what is the book in Barnaba, and we can talk a lot of, we can talk about it a lot, but actually for now the book of Barnaba and the book of Jude, when they examined them, Testament. So when they say the book, that means actually that really it's again not real monks who wrote it. Even if there were monks that have written this, you know that the foundation of Islam was basically by one of the monks of the Nestorian heresy. The Nestorian heresy that occurred in the fifth century, which is basically 451, the Constantinople Ecumenical Council. So that monk actually has falsified a lot of things in order, because he was excommunicated by the church because he was belonging to the Nestorian heresy. So he helped Muhammad to fabricate a lot of verses and a lot of things, a lot of parts of the Bible at that time. So, but the monks actually that's why actually he put the book. So they kind of like is not the authentic monks that would write the book instead of the Bible. They discovered as well that some of the Aramic letters and Aramic words into it are really not grammatically correct. So and if they are really monks and writing a Bible or writing something, they would say, okay, they should be highly qualified, or at least they don't fall into small linguistic mistakes. So that is like a summary of what is this Turkish Bible is, and what's happening with this. It's a lot of research still going on, but from the first copy that has been published for the front, if you go to the internet and you wrote the Turkish Bible, you'll find a lot of and even some YouTubes talking about it and giving you the picture of the first page only, which is having that translation that I just told you about. So from here, actually, why are we saying this? Why we are talking about it now? Because we as young people, and we as probably sometimes we are going to face, I'm sure that some of you have faced or talked to atheists or talked to Muslims in schools, and they attacking the religion, attacking Christianity. And therefore, to us, because sometimes I remember when I was serving the youth group way back in this church, way back in 90s or late 80s. None of you were here, were born even. I remember they came to me, and some of them are still with us, but they serving in different cities now. To me, say, Uncle, what is happening? What's this? The people say, if you can prove that there is the word of Trinity in the Bible, then there's no word of Trinity. So how come we say the Trinity, the Trinity, the Trinity? Because, yes, there is no explicit Trinity in the word. So they were confused, coming to ask. And therefore, that's what I urge you. If you have, if you're facing questions about anything actually related to the authenticity of the Bible or the faith, please don't just absorb it. Just don't absorb it. Don't keep it to yourself, because small foxes can ruin the good fruits in us and can ruin our beliefs and our faith. Therefore, we have to be really alert and come and ask. Come and ask and understand, read, research, but don't leave it like, oh, maybe. Maybe that can drag you to bad way. So I just, there was a question here. Roger, any verse. There is a lot of verses. Like for example, Jesus say, "My father told me to do this," or that means that he is subordinate to the Father. So there are verses that easily can be explained and can be commented to. So don't be confused. So if. And this is that's a good point that you mentioned, that as actually because of the Greek origin of the New Testament specifically, that is the Greek in Greek. So the Greek origin of it, scholars, the Bible scholars, want to really to understand a verse, they go back to the Greek and see what it means. Because like, for example, I give you an example of, for example, the hypostasis. The hypostasis, you know, that the Trinity, three hypostasis, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. We call, the English translation is very weak. It says person. And when we say person, three persons, to me in the mind say, oh, person one, person two, person three. That means they are not in one. So therefore, but the Greek word hypostasis is exact translation of the nature of the Trinity. Hypo means like linkage. Hypo. Stasis is the person. So linked person, and that is for the linkage. You see, the Father is linked to the Son, is linked to the Holy Spirit, and therefore that is the oneness of the Trinity. So that is why the Greek language is very, very accurate. And the big subject now is Greek Testament, Greek New Testament, is a subject, is a big thing, and to study the Bible in Greek, and see the difference, and how. how the meanings are different. That's why Bible scholars always learn Greek, always. Any other questions? I'm not quite sure whether my message here, I am not a fan and fanatic myself. I am not like, I like these topics from time to time. I read about it. But to me, the Bible is, as I said it before, actually, is, and I couldn't, I always say it, read it to be wise, read it to be safe, practice it to be right. Correct. Yeah, and it is a kind of a maturity level when we say preaching and evangelization and things like that. We preach and evangelize the facts of the good things of the Bible, but without saying, it's a maturity level to read the Bible. You need to be mature enough to read the Bible. It doesn't mean that everybody would want to read the Bible. But we read it for understanding to be really of a certain maturity level, and that is what we take it out of for us. If you go and tell any atheist or scientist about the Bible, they'll say, well, no, it's the Bible is like a hypothesis. To me, is doesn't mean anything. Any other questions?
Come around 10 to start helping and preparing the stuff. Alas? What? The food and the car wash and everything. Okay? Let's stand up for prayers.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, only one God, amen. Intercession, St. Mary, St. Paul, St. Anthony, St. Mark, make us worthy. Pray thankfully, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth and in heaven. Give us the daily bread and forgive us our trespasses, as we trespass against us. Lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus, our Lord and Master.